Buddha's instructions on
Krishna consciousness, especially the first three, are directly applicable, although all of the eight chanting the holy name for appreciating the significance of the holy name, the attitude in which we chant, the goal of chanting, sambandha, avideya, prayojana, all these technical terms. The first verse, of course, tells us, as many of you know, that this is a yajna. And it tells us all the different results, wonderful results. Seven, specifically. Seven results of chanting. All the way from extinguishing the fire of conditional life. Bhava Maha Dhava Agni Nirvapanam. All the way to Anandam Buddhivardhanam. The ever-expanding ananda, the expanding bliss of chanting the holy name. And everything in between, you could say. It's about vidyavadu jivanam. It's literally the holy name is literally the wife of knowledge. Wife, the knowledge wife. Vidyavadu. Yes, knowledge. Knowledge is the husband, the wife. Anyway, the wife. of the life, jivanam, of the devotees. And like that. And param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. All glory, supreme glory, to the sankirtanam, the glorification, together, some means together, and as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains, some also means complete, comprehensive, the complete glorification of the Lord. Param vijayate, all victory is in this chanting of the holy name. Material life essentially means defeat, whatever we undertake, whatever apparent success may be there for some time, it is ultimately going to defeat, because our condition in the material world is one of utter vulnerability. But in the chanting of the holy name, we take as our starting point, an acknowledgement and even recognition and even celebration of our vulnerability by submitting ourselves, recognizing ourselves as eternally dependent on the eternally independent personality of Godhead. We celebrate. And this is Sankirtan. And it's a together sort of a thing. It's coming together, hearing and chanting. And it's also yoga. Nowadays, yoga is so popular. Everyone is doing one yoga or another or a combination. So we have kirtan yoga, but more specifically, we have sankirtan yoga. And sankirtan yoga brings us together. Yoga also has the sense of together, of coming together, of connecting. Yoga, yukta, yoke, all these words are related, and it means connecting. We're connecting with each other through the Lord, and we're recognizing, because we're recognizing ourselves as eternal servants of the Lord, positioning ourselves in that constitutional position, as Prabhupada would say, constitutional position, which means irreducible. You can't be less than a eternal servant of the Lord. That's pretty cool. Well, if Krishna wants, you can be more. He can make him more. And then we have the second verse. How does it begin? Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Nija, own, refers to the Lord's, his own, all of his energies are invested, they're all there in the holy names. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, makes this distinction between primary, secondary names. Here we're interested in the primary names, the personal names, not the official names like Ishvara and Paramatma and so on. Jaya Paramatma, Jaya Paramatma, Jaya Paramatma, Jaya Paramatma. No, we're more into Krishna, Rama, yeah. Nija Sarva Shaktis, Tatra Arpita Niyamita, and they can be arpita, they can be offered at any day, any time, any day, in any situation, sitting, standing, facing north, south, east, west, in the shower, whatever. But we like to, again, come together. But then Lord Chaitanya expresses this nice, let's say, spiritual lamentation. Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan, O Bhagavan. You've given me such mercy, and yet, durdaivam, I'm so unfortunate. Idrisham, what is it? Ihajanina na anuraga. I have no attraction for you, despite the mercy that you've given me. So that's, in one sense, a reassuring statement that, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not so attracted, but we're coming together to become more attracted and more. And then totally attracted to the holy name, to Krishna. The third verse is, of course, also relevant, giving us the essential sort of basic mood in which we can develop such attraction, chinadapi sunichena, tadoriva, or api sunichena, amanina, Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Nice little story about this, about Prabhupada, and then I hand it over to Maharaj. Prabhupada had a godbrother who was a scholar. His name was Adi Keshava Prabhu, known in the academic world as O.B.L. Kapoor. And Prabhupada was a householder. He was a pharmacist. He was producing different kinds of medicines and selling. And he had a business. O.B.L. Kapoor asked him once, "Do you have any medicine? Do you have any tonic for attaining Krishna prema?" Sort of joking with him, you know. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that we have." "Oh, you have? That I am wanting to know. What is that?" Prabhupada said, "Yes. Trinadapi sunechena, toroiva sahishana amanina, manadena, kirtaniya, sadahari." And Adi Keshava Prabhu, at the time, he didn't so much appreciate what was behind Prabhupada saying that, how much faith Prabhupada had in the holy name when he made that statement. Only so many years later, when he saw Prabhupada's movements all over the world, then he remembered, oh, He really knew what he was talking about. Yes. Okay. Shri Harinam Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Very succinct and right to the point.
Yes, right, succinct but right to the point explanation of the process and the glories of the Holy Name in 10 minutes. Amazing. Everything is there. Maharaj ended with a story. I'll begin with a story. And it's also about one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. His name was Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, who made his life and practically every minute of his waking existence, maybe even sleeping too, chanting the holy names of the Lord. There's a kind of a rhetorical dialogue going on. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj spoke to one of Srila Prabhupada's, oh, you might say, senior godbrothers, in the sense that he was a forerunner to Srila Prabhupada in making an attempt to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. He was sent by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to go to the Western countries, and he did. He went to London. And him, along with another very senior godbrother, preached, and after some time came back. And they were given a victory welcome, but they didn't really, what we say, establish something solid in their preaching. A few people became interested and got some recognition from the higher government of London at the time. And they were given some respect and some honor, but and one or two people started to chant. After some time, everything went back to normal, you could say, back to the material normal. And so Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, after Srila Prabhupada had gone to the West and had started his movement, and then Babaji Maharaj, when he was seeing the success of Srila Prabhupada, he challenged this other god brother. He said, you went to the West to preach in Bhakti Vedanta. He also went to the West. You are a great scholar of the Vedas. You know the Vedas well. And Bhakti Vedanta, he is a very erudite. He knows the Vedas well. He preaches. You failed. He didn't. He was successful. Why? Challenging question. From the story I heard from both Bhakti Charu Maharaj and someone else, another senior godbrother, who gave these same stories, there wasn't any response from the senior godbrother of Prabhupada. And then Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj answered the question himself, because Bhakti Vedanta had full faith in the chanting of the holy names. That's why he was successful. So here we are. Because of Srila Prabhupada's faith and his faith in action, his determination to spread the glories of Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, we have this Hare Krishna movement. It is really the holy name that makes everything wonderful, inspires devotees to take part in the process of devotional service. And so when we have an opportunity to come together in such an environment as in front of Sri Panchatattva, what could be a better, offering to Panchatattva than to glorify the whole Lord by chanting his holy name? Then it's such auspiciousness. But we can make it more and more auspicious. I think Maharaj was saying, we can't, in our constitutional position, be any less than the eternal servant of the Lord. But we can be a servant in such a way as to give pleasure to the Lord in that service, in that mood of service, by chanting and by inspiring others to take part in the chanting. The inspiration may come in different ways, but the greatest form of inspiration is our own inspiration. when we are inspired and we are absorbed and we are enthusiastic to chant and to glorify the Lord through the holy name, automatically others feel that and also become affected by our own inspiration. And contrary, when we're not, we're also, what we say, bringing about a certain mood that is of the opposite. So as a feature of etiquette within the society of devotees, when we're here in the temple and the kirtan is going on, take part with your whole mind, with your heart, and with your energy. And Krishna consciousness works that way. Krishna is going to see how much we are enthusiastic. And our enthusiasm inspires his mercy to descend more and more. Sometimes we wait for, you know, love of God to fall out of the sky and hit us on the head, and then we'll think, oh, I finally got it. No, it's a very active formula of becoming enthusiastic to chant and to glorify the Lord and to inspire others. And there's a process, or when we say there is a formula for doing that, keep your consciousness on the sound. We were talking about yajna. So sometimes when we think of yajna, we also think of a fire yajna. The priest is sitting there pouring the ghee into the fire, and the mantras are being chanted, and the warlord is being offered the results of that puja. So this is a yajna, and it's a fire yajna, the fire of hearing, the fire of chanting. We put our mind and heart and our tongue in the fire of chanting. We put our mind and tongue and mind and heart in our ear in the fire of hearing. And that becomes what is called Sankirtan Yajna. And we stay into that consciousness throughout the time we were here. And believe me, the energy becomes so uplifting. And it's not so much the melody that's being sung. We all have our favorite melodies, and that is natural and normal. But when everyone is taking part in the singing, despite whatever melody it is, Krishna's pleased. When Krishna's pleased, when he sees the enthusiasm of his devotee glorifying him through this process, he, Goloka Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtan, it descends. It's a descending mercy that comes through the process of placing our consciousness in that enthusiastic chanting and hearing. And the Lord will reciprocate. And his reciprocation makes it successful. And so, just as a practical reminder, when we're in the temple, try to keep yourself absorbed as much as you can in this hearing and chanting. If there's any other business, there's many other places in the immediate area that business can carry on. We're in the temple, make the holy name the focus. And that way, it's a respect to the other devotees, and it's an honor for the person who's singing when he hears and sees everyone is enthusiastic. So, in that way, we honor the devotees, we respect the devotees, and we also will glorify the Lord in that way. So not to sound like an overzealous manager trying to organize everything, which may... But we find that in the beginning of any yajna, the enthusiasm is there. But as time goes on, we forget. So as a reminder, we should always remember why we're here. We're here to glorify the Lord. We're here to associate with others who are doing the same thing and feel that inspiration and take that deeper and deeper in our own devotional life. And of course, beyond that, these types of yajnas actually purify the whole world. And although we are located in one little section of the corner of the world called Ljubljana, it is actually affecting everyone in the entire world when the holy name is being glorified and enthusiastic by others. So others are also benefiting. The entire world is benefiting. And we can honestly say, if it wasn't for the Sankirtan movement going on around the world now, the world would probably be a place of, you couldn't even live in it. The sinful activity is so strong. This Sankirtan movement is pushing back the effects of Kali Yuga and is bringing a light of devotion, a light of happiness into the world, a light of hope. People have no hope, really. Material life is a process of trying one thing after another and becoming hopeless with each thing we do. Without getting into the details, this is understood very clearly that material life doesn't give satisfaction on any level or with any activity. And so the world is really hell-bent on somehow or other increasing their attempts to enjoy. And it's becoming quite sinful and quite, what we say, dangerous. But because of the Sankirtan movement, it's somehow or other, I think there is a bright light that is budding around the world and keeping people hopeful that soon this will take over and become the activity of the people of the world. So thank you very much for all of you coming. Inspire others to come and take part in this wonderful process. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Panchatattva ki jai.